Hello, America, and to all of our listeners all over the world. This will be another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I'm your host, Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, is Teresa Sammons and Chris Selegy. Say hi to the people, folks.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah. So this episode's going to be for January 28th, 2023. Last show for the month. Next time we talk, yeah, it will be February. And, wow, it was kind of a shit week, wasn't it? if you don't know what I mean, we'll get to that. But basically, right now, if you've been on any social media or you've watched the news at all, you probably already know what happened. We had another instance of egregious police brutality that resulted in death in this country. This one was especially bad. I mean, you know, the one that happened to George Floyd was bad. This one was downright sadistic. Have any of y'all watched the tape?
No, I don't have the guts to do it.
Yeah, me neither. I've only
no interest.
Yeah, I've only heard from secondhand what people that told me, but it was that's how bad it was.
Yeah,
you know it's bad when the police know it's bad and say it's going to be bad.
Yeah, like the freaking commissioner was like, yeah, this is going to be, this is really going to upset a lot of people for very good reason.
Yeah, they're not wrong to throw around the name Emmett Till.
Yeah, like this, it was that bad. And anybody who thinks that because all the cops and all the individuals involved in this were all African American think that this doesn't have to do with racism. Oh, yes, it does.
Yep.
And we'll explain why. But yeah, this one, everybody, it's like almost universal, this one. Like everybody was like, this is bad. Except for Candace Owens, who is, you know, gets paid to have the wrong opinion all the time. But we'll get to all that. Yeah, we also had some other shit that happened, including two mass shootings. Well, actually it was like three, but one of them kind of went by the wayside and was not as big a deal as the other two, but we'll get to that. It wasn't all bad, fortunately. We do have some good stuff to talk about, including some of the upcoming stuff that's going to be for the Oscars and some other stuff involving entertainment and stuff like that. And just some other things. We promise it's not going to be all terrible, but you're going to have to eat the meat before you get to the yogurt this time, I'm afraid. But anyway, before we do any of that stuff, let's start off as we always do before we have to, you know, stick our hands into the shit. Chris, tell us what you've been doing this week.
Yet again, still dealing with winter weather.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday we had a few inches. And then, what was it, Wednesday? We had a few more inches. Then that day was fun because it got warmer, turned to rain. Mm. Before, I think, going back to snow at night. Mm. So it was fun. So all that snow turned to slush and water and all that kind of fun stuff. So yeah, that was very fun. Right now it's hanging about low 40s, upper 30s.
Mm.
So we're dealing with a typical thing right now.
Mm.
But yeah, I've been watching a bunch of stuff. Watching a bunch of stuff on Netflix as well. Physical 100. Mm-hmm. Which is a new Korean reality show.
Mm-hmm.
That definitely takes, you know, influence from Squid Games.
Mm-hmm.
Where it takes 100 people, the most fit people in South Korea.
Mm-hmm.
That applied for the show. There's a few Westerners who live in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
One's a baseball player. One is, I forget what he said he was. One is from Germany.
Mm-hmm.
That is conspicuously in Korea now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a black guy in there. I forget what he's. They introduce them all weirdly. They just like let like one walk into this giant room with a bunch of marble busts of these people's, you know, torsos, essentially. So they got like plaster casting and made essentially what their bodies are. And they let like one person go in who is a famous person to a degree, Agent H, who is a reservist, was a reservist in the UDT, well known for his military background, all that kind of stuff. And you get through like bodybuilders, wrestlers, people do all sorts of sporting events. A lot of people that are famous as like fitness people on YouTube in Korea, all sort of stuff like that. And yeah, they kind of just have this slow intro episode of them talking to each other. Then you see, you know, other people come in, and not everybody knows every other person, but there's enough that are like, oh, that person's here. That's bad for us. Like an MMA guy shows up, who's sort of an older MMA fighter, but he is revered by a lot of people there. And, you know, they get like the strongest guy in Korea who is that kind of body type. So he's a bigger dude compared to a lot of them, but has just gigantic arms, that kind of stuff. Yeah. So they get them all introduced, let them hang around there. Bus, and then have them put on their outfits, which are, you know, tucked in under the bust, under the little statue, you know, stand there on, and introduce them to, or put them in another room where they start numbering them, and like send half the people away and have them essentially hang from a, you know, like grid bar setup that was coming down from the roof, and having them hang on, like one guy. Literally, as soon as they start moving the floor away and showing the water underneath, just falls in immediately. Then they do this with the two groups, and you sort of see how people are hanging on. A bunch of people have like similar techniques for that. And one of the girls managed to last into like the third or fourth spot in one of them by basically hanging her arms over the bar, and then hooking them under her leg as like she pulled her leg up and sort of hooked under the knee kind of thing. That's like a really interesting position that she got into. And it was like very polite stuff, because like as soon as they fell under like one of the workers, it was like, oh, we need to get you off to the side so nobody falls on you kind of thing. They go through that. Only two episodes. I guess they're putting this out weekly. I don't know what day it is. So only two episodes. But they come out of that ranking everybody basically by how long they stayed on the bars before falling in, and had like the top 50 hanging out on this like stands next to the rest. So it's like, okay, you guys in the bottom 50, you all did not do well enough. And then had them, had the, you know, the top person pick a partner to face in like an arena combat type thing, as they start to pare down from 100 to 50, essentially, and have, you know, the number one person pick theirs and all the way down. And had a lot of interesting decisions based on that. Some people took, you know, people that were close to their ranking. Some people took, you know, smaller people thinking they could beat them easily, bigger people. Some said, I don't care who I fight, who wants to fight me, kind of thing. Like one guy picked one of the women. But she's like a bodybuilder woman. She's stacked. So it was like that whole thing. And they start, you know, having them face off, but it's done in it's like 3 minutes where they fight over a ball. Whoever's holding it by the end of the 3 minutes wins. And if neither of them are holding it, they go to a 1 minute sudden death and sort of reset for that to whoever gets the ball kind of thing. So it's pretty interesting, especially because they have a lot of everybody else gets to watch on the stands up above, these two different setups, and whoever loses has to go and break their bust and leave, kind of thing. And they have some pretty fun ones, but also it's like, you're like through five of these by the end of the second episode. It's like you got 45 more of these. I don't know how they're going to show them all, if they are just going to show them all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how long this series is supposed to be, but I guess it seems like they're pacing it in a way. It's like, this will be a while,
mm-hmm.
especially if they're doing it one episode at a time, but it's pretty fun. But I definitely recommend not watching it until it's closer to being done.
Mm-hmm.
Cause now I'm like, well, it's one a week, and it's like, that's not enough. That's what I like about the binging stuff. But mm-hmm. yeah, this is designed to be a week to week show. They constantly like reshow clips of people, reacting to this, to the things that are happening, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff, and have like the little interviews later of them talking about, why they took the strategy they did, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's pretty neat for a reality show that is on, like, in some vein of like a Beastmaster or something, but taking a more Squid Game approach to it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one definitely worth checking out. Maybe a little later when it gets further in.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, another Korean show I started checking out is Extraordinary Attorney Woo. Mm-hmm. This is, I think it came out last summer. 16 episodes on the long side, about an hour for each episode. So pretty well done. I really like it a lot. It is a show about an attorney named Woo Young Woo, who mm-hmm. is on the autism spectrum disorder
mm-hmm.
that she has, which she is in sort of the high functioning end, as they show in the first episode. And she didn't mm-hmm. speak until she was five, but has like a photographic memory of everything she's read, which then she, for whatever reason, was reading law books, essentially, mm-hmm. And sort of starts talking when she sees her dad getting sort of accosted by the landlord,
mm-hmm.
and starts yelling out about, the definition of battery and that kind of stuff, to which then, she becomes infatuated with reading more about laws and that mm-hmm. kind of stuff, and, goes to the top law school in the country, or in Seoul. I forget mm-hmm. what the rankings is. Seoul National University, I think it is. It is the has the top grades in her entire class, gets a near perfect bar exam score, very much decorated, but nobody hires her in recruiting
mm-hmm.
For the obvious reason that she is autistic,
mm-hmm.
and ends up getting an offer later from Hanbada,
mm-hmm.
And starts working there, sort of uses her skills in these various cases. They sort of have for like the first six or seven episodes, like a case of the week kind of thing. But it's not all like one type of cases, not like all criminal or civil. It goes through a bunch of different kinds. So that's kind of the fun thing, is seeing all these different setups in like a Korean court
mm-hmm.
that I guess are probably just different courtrooms in this building. Mm-hmm. But you get some that are like the Phoenix Wright style, where the defense is on, on a table on the one side and the prosecutors on the other.
Yeah.
Doing that and having the witness being across from the judge.
Mm-hmm.
They have some that are multiple judges. There's some that are, there's criminal, civil. There's ones that are between businesses, over trying to get restraining orders to stop them from producing stuff, all that kind of stuff. They do a good job of covering all these and
mm-hmm.
explaining them pretty well, though. It's a drama, so there is drama about, who Woo Young Woo's mother is, because she was just raised by her dad.
Mm-hmm.
And they get into that, and that might be scandalous. There's a whole big scandal about, was she hired, was it fraud, hiring fraud, whatever, employment mm-hmm. fraud, because the idea that the CEO of the law firm knows her father and maybe hired her as a favor of sorts. That is a something that's against the law there. Mm-hmm. To which, as an American, I'm like, that happens everywhere here.
Mm.
That's not. I'm sure there's like an egregious part of it that's against the law, but it's like the idea of networking is a normal thing here. Mm. So that's like a thing. It's like, okay, this is not like what it would be like here. Mm. But yeah, there's some romance stuff. There's people that are brown nosers trying to get others in trouble. You know, all this kind of stuff.
Oh yeah,
it's a pretty fun one of these, and I think it covers the autism thing pretty well. She has a fascination besides law with whales and dolphins. Mm-hmm. So like when she has no idea what to say to people in quiet moments, she just starts going off about dolphin facts or whale facts. Mm-hmm. She can think of it's sort of her fascination there.
Mm-hmm.
To which when she gets like inspiration for a thing that might crack the case, it instantly goes to like her thinking about dolphins or whales or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a fun little thing. But yeah, it's fun. I'm like on episode 10, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Still working my way through it, but it's a lot of fun. Hopefully it gets a season 2.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it wraps up. I don't know. But yeah, that's a good show to check out.
Mm.
There's You People, another big movie that came out on Netflix this week featuring Eddie Murphy, Jonah Hill, Lauren London, and a few other people of note. Julia Louis-Dreyfus and David Duchovny are in this. It's essentially a romance comedy, rom-com, of these two people who kind of accidentally meet and, you know, fall in love with each other, go to, you know, get married and propose. Jonah Hill's character sort of talks to his fiance's dad to get the, you know, get his blessing, and sort of finds out that Eddie Murphy's character is very much an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't like the notion of, you know, his daughter potentially marrying a white guy.
Mm-hmm.
That he thinks could be, you know, racist or stupid or whatever.
Mm.
And so spends a lot of time trying to like set up situations for him to get into, you know, into trouble and such, you know, trying to do that. And then his fiance meeting up with his mom, runs into some very kind of racist situations of, you know, her being fascinated by, you know, a black woman's hair and culture and all this and that. At least some good fun, funny moments, some good stuff about, you know, the racism inherent to both of these kind of cultures, especially when they find out that the fiance's family is Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
So having Jewish and Muslim, all that kind of mixing up, at least some odd stuff, you know, oppression Olympics kind of stuff. So it's a fun movie, worth checking out.
Mm.
It ends nicely too. So there's that. And then I also watched Nope, which is on Peacock. I had not seen this, and it is not a horror movie, I would say.
No.
It does get into some scary moments, but nothing that I would say is like your typical horror movie. I would say it's more like an expanded episode of like The Twilight Zone.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because it's sort of the notion of like a UFO encounter, and what that means, and, you know, is this really a UFO, and how it affects the people in this town, as the people that are trying to, you know, uncover whatever's going on here, so I'm trying to figure out how it works and the nature of all that,
as
I try to catch it in like a good camera. To know, like, oh, this, you know, because all the UFO footage is all shitty, you know, blurry footage, pictures, all that shit. It's like, well, we're gonna get this, you know, real good. Go to Fry's and get like top notch, you know, security cameras and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But also gets, you know, tricked out by, say, the notion that this UFO, when it appears, you know, causes power outages and such, and dealing with all that. So yeah, it's a fun movie. It's got some interesting endings and all that. And yeah, it's got a lot of good acting in it. So it's the first one of his movies I've checked out, because the other two are very clear, like, horror movies. This one's a little less on that, though. There's definitely some good bits where people just say, nope.
Yep.
Just like, no, we're not dealing with this.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's a fun one. That's been pretty much it for what I've been watching for gaming. I've been playing Haiku the Robot. I got this out of one of the Humble Bundles right now. It's sort of like a good collection of good games that came out last year that you may not have seen or played. And this is one of them, Haiku the Robot, that is very much a Metroid-like, influenced by Hollow Knight. So it's got the ability to heal yourself using up part of your currency, whereas in Hollow Knight you're filling up a meter that lets you fill up some of your health bar or your health, you know, hearts, whatever. There's kind of the notion of map stuff you needing to fill out in the similar way to Hollow Knight, though you don't have to find a guy to pay off to get a map and then, you know, find upgrades or pay for upgrades that, you know, let it update you on where your character is at and all that. It doesn't have that kind of stuff. You just come into some parts of your map where there's, where you don't have an idea what's going on, and you have to just find this machinery that is blocking that. So, and that has like a big pulse out of it, so you kind of know if you're nearby by looking at that. So yeah, that's and one of the other things I am trying to think, yeah, it has like a pin system, kind of like what Hollow Knight had. So you get some extra perks and abilities and such out of that. So, but the rest of it is kind of more standard Metroid-like, with the action. It does a good job of avoiding like what the old Metroids did, where if you were, you know, trying to find specific shortcuts and such, you would keep leaving rooms, coming back, and having enemies respawn instantly. This one kind of has like that on a timeout. So if you're, you know, one area I got to is like, oh, you hit the switch on this side and it opens up a path on the top part of the screen that you have to go back and around to get, and then hit a switch there to go back to the original place you're at. And it didn't respawn the enemy, so I didn't have to go fight anybody out of that. It also lets you kind of bank your currency as you get it. And yeah, the action's pretty standard. I believe at some point I'll get a grappling hook. But right now I have a wall jump for that. It makes you know, easier to get up taller areas, that kind of stuff. Combat's pretty easy to get into. The bosses are pretty well done. They're not too complicated or difficult, but being able to figure out the, you know, way you combat them is pretty simple, or pretty simple once you figure it out, kind of stuff. But yeah, worth checking out. The only issue is it does not support Steam Cloud Save, so I was playing it on my PC. Like, oh, I'll play this on my Steam Deck, and then it was showing like, oh, you got no saves. I'm like, what? So I have to start over if I'm going to play it there, and that's kind of annoying, but I would know what I'm doing, so be easier to kind of get around at least. On that front. But yeah, that one's worth checking out. Haiku the Robot. Pretty cool game. And the other one, just Ruggedly. They got a new event going on right now. I've already completed most of it, so it's not too difficult. So that's been pretty much it for me. How about you, Teresa?
All right, Teresa, what about you?
I've been playing a lot of Vampire Survivors. Like too much of it. because, as I mentioned, I let my subscription for Final Fantasy 14 expire in an effort to play other stuff. And I played some other stuff this week, too. But
you need a new nonsense to play?
Oh, God, yeah. I need an excuse to play some of the stuff that's sitting on my shelf, too. Mm. You know? Don't we all?
Yeah.
Although, to be fair, winter is a pretty damn good excuse to do that. We've had snow like Chris has had. Actually came back from something today, and yeah, the roads were pretty good, even though it was snowing the whole time. It was just slight flurries and stuff. And then I crossed over this one street, and I got pissy because I'm like, what the hell village isn't plowing this goddamn road? Mm-hmm. No. I just happened to hit a thicker snow band as I kept traveling further north to get home. And it was really obvious by the time I got into my own parking lot. I'm like, we have extra snow here.
Mm. Yeah, it's like any salting they did was for like the first hour of it, and then the rest of it just overpowers it.
Mm. Yeah, I think so. Although, you know, after we were here, I started hearing the plows coming through, and I don't know if the guy that plows our parking lot came through or not. I should care because we have one car that's out and we're supposed to move it into a plowed spot. But my car is in the garage and I don't give a shit. Because I don't plan on going anywhere tomorrow. So it could just keep snowing. We've been playing a lot of that. It's on Game Pass. So we were playing it there, and I got tired of waiting for my turn. So we have it on Steam, and we're playing it on both. That way we both get a turn to play. And then Kingdom Two Crowns released a new challenge island, I believe it was Tuesday. And it's a Lost Island challenge island. So we were playing through that. We've already platinumed it. It's done. We might play it again more, but... I don't know. We're not really crazy about doing the challenge islands on that. I usually do them solo. But I saw something on Reddit, and it was in r/male living spaces or something like that. It's where guys post stuff about home interiors. And it was a picture of a guy sitting in a leather chair saying, "Where do I get this chair?" And it came from this documentary on Netflix called Pepsi, Where's My Jet? About that 1995. There was a Pepsi challenge where, you know, they put a Harrier jet at the end of the commercial as a joke. Mm-hmm. And this guy did not take it as a joke. And it was a 4-episode documentary on it. And it was pretty funny and pretty interesting, too. We actually got to see a recent events person of interest. We'll just put it that way. But I think it's interesting enough that most everybody would enjoy watching it. And then in other weird crap I've been watching... It's all very eclectic this week. I can't say that. Oh, did I tell you guys that I finished Shoresy, that I watched that season and finished it? Mm. I think I missed that last week. Anyway, I did watch Shoresy last week. So that's a typical thing that people would expect most people to be interested in watching. No. I went back and was watching the completely mental misadventures of Ed Grimley from Saturday Morning Cartoons. Oh my god. I don't have any justification, and I'm not going to. Yeah, I watched it. And I've started a mockumentary from BBC called Kunk on Earth. And it's awesome. I don't know how somebody could be simultaneously so very right and so very wrong. But the actor and the writers, she pulls it off every single time. I mean, it's just so awesome to, and I don't know, like, the whole backstory. Like, clearly, I think the people who she's interviewing, they're mostly academia people. I think they know that, you know, this is a tongue-in-cheek thing. But then I also think that they're absolutely actors. I don't think that they're for real. So yeah. I'm between on these. But the way that their brain slips, and you could see it when she asks something ridiculous, is just hysterical. So if you could find that, yeah, that one gets my stamp of weird approval. But other than that, I went to a bar mitzvah today. And that yeah, that was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That was very interesting. And I kind of wonder that maybe other people lose out by not having some sort of very important coming of age ritual.
Yeah.
You know, because the things that he's doing, like, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it looks amazing, but, you know, I from the Jewish friends I've talked to, you know, the young men, they will all tell you that the days leading up to the bar mitzvah are extremely stressful because yeah. you have to learn that particular passage from the Torah and recite it, you know, basically by rote a note in front of a bunch of people.
Oh, no, yeah, he was reading Hebrew from yeah. their Torah,
yeah.
The one that they have on scrolls there at, well, one of them, at the temple.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not reading it like, you know, what is it? Roman, whatever it is, like where you read Japanese, but it's in Roman alphabet.
No, it's from right to
it's
left.
It's not Romanized yeah. or whatever. Yeah, no, yeah. It's
Hebrew is right to left. Yeah.
Yeah, he's reading it in actual Hebrew.
He's got a little stick that has, like, the little hand pointing on the end of it. And he's like, there's, like, a rabbi there. And, yeah.
Yeah, and that one was hand-carved by a previous rabbi who yeah. I think was his grandfather, but I'm not yeah. sure.
That is, that's tradition. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and that Torah has probably been in that family, and that Torah has probably been in that rabbi's family for generations too.
Yeah.
There are Torahs that go back centuries.
It was very, very interesting. And you could tell that he prepared not just a week in advance. I mean, this is Hebrew school every weekend since he was probably 4 or 5.
Yep.
So, yeah, and it's got to be really empowering to be able to get up there in front of everybody and lead them in an actual teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he was doing. And it was not short.
No. Nope.
You know, it was impressive. And I could see how it would be a huge boon of self-confidence and maturity and whatnot for the people who, you know, who go through that.
Mm.
So very, very cool. And being there today of all days was something. Cause this is a remembrance day, from where Auschwitz was liberated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This was, it wasn't today, but I think it was it yesterday?
Or was it the day before? Yeah, it might have been.
It was Holocaust Remembrance Day. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
by the way, for those who are curious, when they do that actual ritual of when they're like reading out the Torah is called an aliyah. It's
yeah, there are like 7 of them, and yeah. I was like, is this a chapter? What mm-hmm. what are we doing here? But
yeah, and there's yeah, I'm trying to remember. Yeah, there's like 7 of them. There's like one for like every day of the week, apparently, and yeah, you get into some really it's beyond my scope of knowledge, but yeah, it's fascinating. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It really was. It really was.
And then after the Torah reading was the party.
yeah, that was a little tame. But yeah. You know, it was cool. Mm-hmm. And it was dragon themed, which I thought was awesome. So, hey, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's pretty much it for me. What have you been up to this week, Brandon?
Well, as for me, I finished Xenoblade Chronicles 3. Finished it. And holy shit, that game just ends in just the best way possible. It brings together, you know, two of the big characters from the first two Xenoblade games into it. The last boss ends up going, is like a marathon where you have to fight like five different forms of him. And like the last couple ones are just insane, like psychedelic, just absolute craziness. And it's all happening while there's like this epic battle that's happening around you. So it's, and it somehow my Switch did not explode. So, you know, that in and of itself is incredibly just miraculous. It also opens up sort of the possibility for what the next Xenoblade, or if they even continue that title, what the next Xeno game could possibly be. It ends in a very great way, and I'm absolutely happy to have played that game. It's done now, so I gotta, you know, find ways to fill the RPG hole in my heart. And fortunately for me, on Game Pass, both Persona 3 Portable and Persona 4 Golden are now on Game Pass. So I have played a little bit of Persona 3, which is a game I only ever really played a little bit back in the day. And this is the portable version, which means that they basically took a bunch of that game and turned it into a visual novel. With some point-and-click aspects. I'm also really been playing Persona 4. Persona 4 Golden. And that game is... But I remember, yeah, like when I booted that game up, am I going to remember any of this stuff? Is any of this going to be familiar to me? And then Nanaka shows up and it's like, oh God, I remember. although I did forget how goddamn long it takes for that game to actually get started, because that game spends a lot of time sort of building up the foundation. And like Persona 5 is kind of the same way, but they actually get to the action much quicker. Well, with Persona 4, like, you're going through, they're building up, like, all the, yeah, this is you moving into the town, this is the new school, this is the people at the new school, this is where you're going to be living at now, these are the people you're living with, you know, there's weird weather and stuff happening here, and just all this stuff, and it's like, we're not even in the first dungeon yet. And then, of course, there's also the thing, is like, you've got to help your, what's going to eventually be your party, get, you know, their personas and stuff. So that's a whole other thing. It's just, I had forgotten how much of that game it takes, but it's still a great game either way. It still holds up shockingly well, in a lot of ways. I will say though, this isn't so much really the game's fault, because it came out at a specific time. Everybody kind of looks like a Cupid doll. Like, they have like that weird, their models all have that weird sheen to them, which I know because this was originally a PS2 game. So that's been updated somewhat. So it's going to look a little off, I know. Other than that, books, you know, reading like usual. I started reading this book by Gene Wolfe, who is the guy who wrote the Book of the New Sun, which is this sort of a cult classic book series. And it's called Soldier of the Mist. And it's about a guy named, well, hold on just a second. Let me bring it up here. Yeah, okay. Yeah, here we go. It's about a guy. It takes place in ancient Greece, right around 479 BC. And It follows this guy named Latro, who is a mercenary. He may be from the area that would eventually become Rome. It's kind of suggested that. It's never fully said. He doesn't really speak a lot of the language there, so he has to like have an interpreter or people who can speak pieces of his own language. He's, like I said, he's a mercenary, and he actually fought at the Battle of Platea and this is one of the weird things about thing is since it takes place in ancient Greece, it translates all of the stuff there, the place names and everything, into direct English. So some of it doesn't make sense unless you kind of know sort of what stuff is. He goes up against the great king in what they call it the Battle of Clay, which is Platea. And he was there with the armies of what are called the armies of the City of Thought and the City of Rope. And if you don't know what those are, Thought in Greek is Athenos or Athens. And Rope, I don't remember what it translates into Greek, but it's Sparta, basically. And during battle, he basically suffers a head wound. And what the head wound does is that he now suffers from both retrograde and anterograde amnesia. He cannot recall any past memories, and he has the inability to create new memories. So basically, he wakes up every morning not remember what happens beforehand. And because of that, he's told by the physician that attends to him that he should get he gets him like a papyrus and a writing instrument so that he can write down the basics of who he is. You know, my name is Latro. This is what I do for a living. This is where I am now. Basically, to make sure that everything he remembers. In fact, that's literally the first chapter is him writing down all the stuff that is, you know, the basics so that when he wakes up in the morning, he can remember. But the odd thing is that because of this head wound he has, he can now actually see the unseen world, which means that now he can actually see people that are part of the Greek mythological cycle, of the Greek pantheon, even though, you know, he isn't quite sure who they are, because remember, he's not from that part of the world. So other people have to tell them, is it? So the thing is, he also calls them by like names that are like direct English translations of what their original Greek names are. So like he's taken to a temple of what he calls the Shining God in Hill, the city of Hill, which is Shining God is, of course, Apollo. And the hill is the city of Thebes. And while he's there, Apollo actually shows up. And he's like, you know, I cannot cure you of your head wound, but I can tell you to go to a shrine of the Earth Mother. That's Demeter. And so he goes to the shrine. While he's there, he ends up being gifted a slave girl named Io, because apparently he had done something for one of the priests there that he can't remember. And it's just, it's really fun to read, because this guy, he's like, it's this weirdly thing where he's, again, he can't remember anything that happens beforehand, and he can't really create any new memories. So every morning when he wakes up, he basically is a clean slate. And eventually, like, some of the people that are around him actually start taking advantage of that. And like, he doesn't realize it until like a couple of chapters later. Which is legitimately kind of funny. But it's really interesting. It's an incredibly fascinating read. It's just because of the fact it's written like as if like Greek straight to English, some of these place names require you to like kind of think like outside the box of like, what is he talking about? But it's good stuff. Let's see, what else? Just music, nothing really major to talk about there. I've been watching a lot of Tina Guo. Do you guys know who Tina Guo is?
No.
Okay, did you ever see Wonder Woman?
No, I still haven't watched it.
Okay, well, have you heard the theme music from that movie?
probably.
Yeah, she's the cellist who did the music from that movie. Yeah, she's an electric cellist, is what she does. And she does a lot of work for Hans Zimmer, and she's done a bunch of videos on YouTube of her doing some of that stuff. And it's just, it's amazing to see. She's legitimately super talented. Amazingly talented. She's also hot, too, which kind of helps. And she knows it, and she loves to show off on her in her videos. So, yeah. But anyway, so we want anything we want to add on before we move on, or are we good to go?
No.
All right. Well then, it's now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid, and finishing up sort of the series we started a couple of weeks ago. It's time now to find the fourth and last of the most infamous four of the early 90s, the games that basically brought the whole violence in video games debate to the forefront in popular consciousness. It's probably the one that became arguably the most infamous one because it was very obvious that the people criticizing it had never actually played it or really even seen it. Two, that it was honestly not even that good and probably got a lot more coverage because of the hearings than anything else on its own merits. And three, because it has Dana Plato in it. It, of course, is Night Trap. So Night Trap is... Okay, so real quick, did any of you guys ever play Night Trap?
I tried. I did try.
Yeah, that's sort of the optimal phrase here, isn't it? Try.
Yeah.
Chris, what about you?
No, I've seen it though.
Yeah, okay. So a little bit about this game's backstory, because probably of all of them, it probably has the most interesting of all of them, because it's just the weird sort of development cycle it has. So believe it or not, and if you've seen, like, the actual game, this probably won't surprise you terribly much. The game basically started development all the way back in 1986, which suddenly makes the way all those characters dress make a lot more sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So here's what happened. Back in 1986, there was a company called Axlon. Axlon, for those you don't know, was a company that at the time was being the major guy involved with it was of course Nolan Bushnell, who is both famous and infamous in the gaming world for various reasons. But at the time, they were trying to pursue a new kind of gaming console, and it was a gaming console that was called ControlVision. It was developed by a guy named Tom Zito. And it was essentially, it was unusual for the fact that it was the, because up to this point, remember, up to this point, all gaming consoles used cartridges, or if it was like a PC, it was floppy disk, right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, or like a Spectrum, which used, you know, cassette tapes. The ControlVision used VHS tapes rather than ROM cartridges. Which basically meant that it was more or less the first gaming console that could use FMV technology. So they decided they were going to put together a prototypical gaming project to show this game off. And they came up with this idea of like a sort of B-movie-esque slasher-type movie. That eventually became called Night Trap. The footage that was used in the game was all recorded in 1987, which again, boy, does it show. And then after that, there was like 6 months of editing and game programming. And then in 1989, Hasbro, which at that point had gotten a controlling interest in Axlon, said, yeah, we're not doing this ControlVision anything. So what happened is Tom Zito, the guy who was the game's executive producer as well as the guy who developed the ControlVision, he ended up purchasing all the film footage, and he started a new company called Digital Pictures to complete the game. And eventually, as we all know, the game was eventually released in 1992 on the Sega CD. So what is the game itself? Well, Night Trap is basically an interactive movie, as you can probably guess. You're basically a player who's taking part in this this sort of police surveillance squad called the Sega Control Attack Team, or SCAT for short. So basically, the guy that runs the place is telling you, okay, we were alerted to the appearance of five teenage girls who were last seen at this estate called Martin Wine, which was called the Martin Winery Estate, because the Martin family makes wine, and that's their estate. They consist of Victor Martin, his wife Sheila, their children Jeff and Sarah, and their cousin Tony. The missing girls were reportedly invited to stay for the night for like a sleepover. They questioned the Martin family, but claims the girls had left safely, and they refused to let the police search the property. So the police then handed over the case to SCAT, which then ends up in you. So what happens is, five more teenage girls head towards the estate, and one of them is, in fact, an agent. Now, they don't tell you until later on in the game, but you'll find out who's, like, undercover. Nobody knows who her true identity is. Also with them is Danny, who's Lisa's one of the girls' younger brother. And so you're given like this sort of sophisticated network of security cameras and a series of traps and an operational unit in the basement that you can use to control everything. And then what ends up happening is that the place gets invaded by augurs. Augurs in this game are vampires that need blood to survive, but because they, the people making the movie were too freaking cheap to get some cheap Halloween fangs, they have these weird sort of like mechanical arm things that wrap around people's to drain blood from them. Yeah. And basically you're trying to go through it. You're trying to make sure. And if you see one of the augers, and you know, you've got enough, you know, power in the system, you can operate a trap and that'll trap them. And the whole point is to try and get it through the night. And if one of the girls ends up getting captured, that's game over. Well, that's basically it. Like, there's no graphic violence, no real cursing or anything. It's mostly just late 80s schlock, more or less. And, of course, one very memorable theme song that they will sing for you in full. So, what in the world caused any of this to, like, get, you know, it's infamous controversy? Well, mostly it's because of one scene. In the scene, one of the girls, Lisa, is, you know, I can't remember if she's in the bathroom or she's in a bedroom somewhere. I think she's the bathroom. It's or the laundry room, one of those. And she's in her nightgown, but she can be captured and basically taken off the camera. So in 1993, when the Senate decided to hold hearings on the subject of video game violence, the hearing was, of course, again, led by Joe Lieberman and Herb Cole, and was covered by major newspapers. And for whatever reason, they just had this wild hair up their ass about Night Trap. Specifically, that scene with Lisa in the nightgown. That's basically it. I think a lot of it was also sort of built up by, because you got to remember, this is the era before the internet became like a major thing. So there was a lot of like, you know, rumors flying around, like, you know, women got nude and they like cut them up into pieces and stuff like that, which of course really pissed off some of the developers, because keep in mind, they were comparing this game to Mortal Kombat.
Jeez.
Yeah, so like worst you can see in Night Trap is maybe a scantily clad girl playing a teenager getting yanked off screen by a vampire. In Mortal Kombat, a dude rips a dude's heart out of his chest. See the point? Yeah.
It's a little different.
Also, it didn't help that the senior vice president for Nintendo of America decided to testify that Night Trap would never appear on a Nintendo system. So, yeah, way to sell out your fellow game developers there, Nintendo.
Yeah.
Also, it was also because, the Nintendo did not and would not for many more years have a gaming system that ran on a disk drive. But you're probably wondering, so when this hearing came out, this game sold like gangbusters, didn't it? Yeah. According to retailers, after the hearings went public, they sold about 50,000 copies of it the following week. But unfortunately, a bunch of the toy stores got like numerous complaints from what for years has been suspected to have been an organized telephone campaign. So they decided to take it off the shelves about 2 weeks before Christmas. They kept selling Mortal Kombat, though. Yeah. So Night Trap kind of faded away into infamy with also, quite frankly, the Sega CD itself, because holy shit, that system sucked.
We should have saved that money and invested it. Holy fuck.
Yeah. It also pretty much is like one of the examples of like, kind of one of the reasons, one of the examples of why FMV games really don't work all that well, at least not back then anyway. There's the technology now that you can definitely do FMV games these days with much better quality and sophistication to them. May I recommend Immortality, for example, which you can get on Game Pass on Xbox. But at this point, it was pretty obvious like FMV stuff was only ever going to work in like the arcades for like gun stuff, and that was about it. But yeah, that was the last of the infamous four from back in the early 90s. Of course, that would sort of keep the whole video game violence thing going for quite a few years more, well into the late 90s, when, of course, a couple of high schoolers went into a little high school in Littleton, Colorado, and with some machine
guns.
Did what they did, which basically made the whole thing a whole subject again. And then, of course, the Columbine generation grew up and basically more or less killed that entire debate for good. You know, like, I mean, some fringe figures still try to bring it up. They don't really, it doesn't work. So, yeah, that was just one of the things we all had to go through in our childhood.
Yeah.
And that has been yet another installment of Brandon's Factoid. So, with that, it is now time for the show proper, and as always with the show proper, we have to start off with our assholes in the weekend. Boy, did we have a lot of assholes this week. Yeah. So we start off with probably another one of those awful fucking mass shootings that just keep happening in this country for reasons we cannot possibly fathom. When a gunman killed 11 people and wounded 9 others in a mass shooting in Monterey Park near a festival, then shot himself in his van before the cops arrived.
Yeah. While it seems like a, racially motivated shooting, mm-hmm. It is not so much of that, because the shooter was a 72-year-old mm-hmm. Asian man.
Yep.
I believe this was believed to be some sort of work-related thing.
Possibly.
I believe that was, it's not quite known, but they are looking into more of it.
Mm.
But yeah, I believe it was some sort of aggression thing with a man, which is most mass shootings
mm-hmm.
involves a man that is unable to process their feelings
mm.
and takes it out on other people.
Yeah.
But yeah, went to shot people at a dance studio in Monterey Park, city mm-hmm. east of LA. Killed 11 people, left 9 others injured. They were searching. This was like very early in the morning, like just after midnight, I believe. They managed to find the van of this person hours later, but the suspect was found dead from a self-inflicted gunshot wound about 30 miles away. That's unfortunate, especially for the people that are surviving and their families.
Mm.
To know, like, why this had to happen.
Yeah, yeah. But fortunately, that was not the only mass shooting, because there was another one that happened in Half Moon Bay. A gunman killed 7 people in shootings in Half Moon Bay in 2 landscaping nurseries.
Yeah. This one, this was in San Mateo County, south of San Francisco. Shooter was believed to be a worker at either one or both locations.
Mm.
And the victims were also believed to be workers, so very much a workplace shooting.
Yeah.
Yeah, 7 people were killed, and 8th is in critical condition.
Mm.
Yeah, and this was another older, I don't know if he's Chinese, Asian man.
Mm.
He's in custody and alive, so they can at least try to figure out why this happened.
Mm-hmm.
For that, but yeah. Went to one place at, yeah, I'm trying to see the time frames. No, just when they found it, the vehicle.
Mm.
But yeah, found a semi-automatic handgun in his vehicle.
Mm.
But yeah, luckily he is in jail. Gonna be charged. We'll see what charges come out of that, but yeah, at least he will serve punishment for this.
Mm. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we get to this. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis had his education to block a proposal for AP African American Studies courses, calling it political indoctrination and against the law.
Because yeah.
Fuck him.
Yeah. Another political stunt, but it has a lot of repercussions.
Mm-hmm. And he doesn't care who it steps on. He just wants to do it.
Yeah, the College Board has been developing this class for more than a decade.
Mm-hmm.
Is piloting it at 60 schools across the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
While planning to make it available to all schools in the 2024 to 2025 school year. Yeah, these are AP classes, so you can choose to take them for potentially college credit or higher placement when you get to college, for that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Let's see. The course aims to explore the experience and contributions of African Americans through various lenses, from the African diaspora to the civil rights movement and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, College Board is the group that organizes like all the ACT tests and all that, SAT tests and all that stuff, as well as AP class curriculum type stuff, so all the AP Calc and all that stuff generally goes through them.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is Florida is in a place where Ron DeSantis is running roughshod over anything remotely progressive. And this is one of them. Yeah, they passed recently the Stop Woke Act that limits how race can be taught in classrooms and lets parents sue teachers and districts that violate it. The Parental Rights in Education Act, referred to by critics as the Don't Say Gay Act, prohibits discussion of sexual orientation and gender identity through third grade and sets limits on instruction after that point. They also have a law requiring schools to teach Black history, as Miami-Dade County School Board member Steve Gallon III said over the weekend, pointing out the inconsistency. Yeah, a law requiring schools to teach Black history. So that's wild and shows the hypocrisy of everything that's going on here.
I mean, I thought that the customer for the public schools is society and not a fascist government leader.
Yeah.
Or even parents. It's not what 3 parents want. It's what society needs the kids to be taught.
Yeah.
But that's just screaming into the wind.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I want to say it's either Florida or Texas, I think, that is supposedly proposing a law that allows the parents to vote in a principal for a school.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like the dumbest idea ever.
Mm.
Well, I want Principal Bodie McBoatface, so yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, the notion that you have to have people like campaigning for principals is rife with people to exploit that.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
As much as they're trying to exploit getting onto, you know, the school boards.
Mm-hmm.
So that they can dictate things with people that don't even have kids or have no idea how any of that stuff works.
Mm-hmm.
All that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Also, I'm just going to be frank here. I'm frankly fucking sick and tired of having to coddle all these old white fuckers who just can't get past the idea that society has left them behind.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the world changes. Things change. You know.
Yeah.
And I'm sick of it. I'm sick of constantly having to, you know, try and baby these old crusty fucks. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Yeah, anyway. It's like how in school we had the whole DARE thing going on.
Yeah.
To, you know, scare us about every drug. Not even the just weed, but everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like now weed is, you know, fully legal in at least about a third of states in this country. Mm-hmm. And legal in various ways in most of the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, we adjusted to that just fine.
Mm-hmm.
As well as even old people.
Yep.
Because guess what? Weed's been popular for hundreds of years.
Yep. But anyway. And, here we go. Five Memphis police officers were charged with murder and jailed over the death of Tyre Nichols. Yeah. Yep. Or was it Tyree Nichols? It might have been Tyree Nichols.
Yeah, I'm not sure how it's pronounced.
But... yeah, I haven't been watching anything YouTube.
But basically the guy was, I mean, they basically tortured him more or less.
Yeah.
I mean, they just straight up tortured the dude. Like this wasn't like, you know, Derek Chauvin kneeling on George Floyd's neck and, you know, suffocating him to death. No. These were people who basically played with him like he was a pinata.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just awful. It's awful.
And, the surprising thing is that you'd be like, oh yeah, this was in Memphis, so obviously it was a bunch of white cops.
No, like, unfortunately, no. But the thing is, that still doesn't mean it doesn't have any racism.
Yeah,
it absolutely does.
It is five black cops, which they're still cops.
Yeah.
Once you become a cop, you become a cog in this racist machine.
Mm-hmm.
That enforces the racism inherent in the way the state polices things.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the entire history of the police force in this country.
Yep.
Dates back all the way to policing, you know, the slaves getting out of their farms and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Escaping to bring them back. So it doesn't matter what the race of the people, like, you know, the cop that killed George Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
He had, what, an Asian man, and I forget what the other, was he a Latino, the other one? It was like, none of them stopped him.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, these guys are facing several charges, including second-degree murder, aggravated assault, aggravated kidnapping, official misconduct, and official oppression.
Mm-hmm.
Killed this guy after a traffic stop. Let's see, yeah, the Memphis police chief, Sarah Lynn Davis, released a video statement discussing the horrific circumstances of Nichols' death, called it a professional failing, and said the incident was heinous, reckless, and inhumane. Which, for a police chief to say that, means that they totally know that everything that happened there was way over even the line that cops have on this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, each of the five officers played a different role. The actions of all of them resulted in the death of Tyre Nichols, and they're all responsible. And so yeah, he died 3 days later after he was stopped by Memphis police for reckless driving. The 29-year-old fled the scene of the traffic stop, but eventually was taken into custody after two confrontations with officers. He complained of shortness of breath following his arrest and was taken to the hospital in critical condition.
Mm-hmm.
Samuel said the police beat him so badly that he became unrecognizable.
Mm.
And a grand jury returned indictments and charged all five officers with the same charges, including second-degree murder, aggravated assault, and aggravated kidnapping.
Mm.
All five surrendered to the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation. Agents on Thursday morning are being held in the Shelby County Jail.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, bond is set at $350,000 for two of them and $250,000 for the other three.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, even the defense attorneys had not seen the video of the arrest.
Yeah.
As of this article was written on, what would that be, Thursday? Mm-hmm. It was released yesterday. Yeah, not really worth watching unless you're really need to see it.
Mm-hmm.
It's good too. Yeah.
Just that you don't need to watch it. All you need to know is bad. Very, very bad. And that there's really no wiggle room for any ambiguity to it either. Just these guys straight up maliciously tortured a man to death. That's it.
Yeah, not even like the one in Chicago with a kid who was being chased and shot in the back, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Because he had a stick.
That was pretty clear, but even just enough wiggle room that people, you know, argue why they shouldn't have to care.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. There you go. Awful. Mm-hmm. Awful situation.
Yeah. And finally, Facebook is allowing Donald Trump back on Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah, because why not?
Yeah, because he's also getting ready to fucking vacate Truth Social. Yeah, like it's that place is a sinking ship and he knows it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about all of that. I mean, there's really nothing else to add to it. I mean, Facebook is, Meta is, I say Meta, it's fucking Facebook. Facebook is claiming that, you know, they're going to be, they're going to putting a lot more, like, restrictions on him than other people. I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
But it's not all bad. We do have this one bit of Hero of the Week news. The U.S. is returning 60 treasured items to Italy. Yeah, because as we've talked about in the past, museums are full of shit that has been stolen from places. And unfortunately, the U.S. is not alien to that. We have a bunch of shit that's been stolen as well in our museums, including a bunch of Native American artifacts. But in this case, we got a bunch of shit that was stolen from Italy.
Yeah, it's something that can be fairly complicated because, you know, people that sell this stuff don't often provide the full history of where these things were acquired.
Mm-hmm.
And may not even know it themselves, that kind of thing. But a lot of these places have people that specialize in, you know, examining this kind of stuff and analyzing it. Mm-hmm. They can figure out, like, yeah, this is stolen shit.
Mm-hmm.
The other 60 ancient pieces that were illegally trafficked to the U.S., one of them a fresco depicting Hercules and originally from Herculaneum, a city destroyed along with Pompeii in the 79 AD eruption of Mount Vesuvius.
Mm-hmm.
Sent back to Italy on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Along with 59 other ancient pieces. So, yeah, this is good news.
Mm-hmm.
There's a BC Kylix, or shallow two-handed drinking vessel.
Mm-hmm.
Some 2,600 years old, also returned as a sculpted marblehead from 2nd century BC, depicting the goddess Athena.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, a lot of stuff here.
Yeah,
a lot of stuff that deserves to go back to where it's from.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so that was the show proper. We're now moving on to the proper show proper. And the first story we've got for you tonight is that the FDA announced shift the nation's COVID-19 vaccine strategy. Among other things, they're getting ready to recommend just like a yearly COVID vaccine that would more or less go with the flu shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because we fucked around and found out that, we are going to have to deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of minimizing it as much as possible and just letting people die of it or survive getting the COVID and increasing your chances of getting long COVID.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this new change simplifies vaccination against COVID and adopts an approach similar to what we use for the flu.
Mm-hmm.
With annual updates to match whatever strain of the virus is circulating.
Yep.
So yeah, that is unfortunately where we're at with this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But unlike the flu vaccine, I think this will be a thing that even less people get.
Yep.
Yeah, it's probably going to end up that way.
Especially as anything happening with people seems to result in them thinking, oh, it was the COVID vaccine. That's what happened to Damar Hamlin in the Buffalo Bills game. It's like, no, he got hit pretty hard right in the chest. And his heart got fucked up through it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's not the COVID vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's anti-vaxxer logic there.
Yeah, I understand why people go to that place. It still doesn't make it right.
Yeah.
Yeah, which that has evolved to the point where people think that the Damar Hamlin that has been seen out in public is a
clone.
I don't know about a clone, but somebody that looks similar enough because he was wearing a helmet.
Yeah.
Because he was wearing a helmet in the game. Mm. So obviously nobody knows what he looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So they get a body double. Something like that. And so, you know, they want real proof that it's him. And it's like,
mm-hmm.
nobody would go through that trouble.
Yeah.
But,
like how much stuff gets leaked? Like, that's the stupid thing with, like, the shootings and all. It's like, oh, it's actors. It's like, man, if people are getting jobs out of this shit, that would be on their resumes. That stuff would make it public.
Yeah, you'd be seeing this shit on Craigslist.
Like, you can't post a resume on, you know, any resume sites without it getting, you know, taken by the bots, and then you get all sorts of spam out of it. Anything like that would be circulated in a major way that people would have found out by now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, next up in political news, House Representative Schiff has said he's running for Dianne Feinstein's 2024 Senate seat because I'm pretty sure she's retiring or think she's going to be retiring or she should be retiring because goddamn.
Yeah, she'll be in her 90s by the time
that election comes up. The Reaper's going to tell her she's retiring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she has said that she will decide if she's going to run for re-election in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, fuck off.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be campaigning like next year or this year, essentially, if you're going to run for next year.
Like she's been in the House for how long now?
The Senate?
Well, yeah, in the Senate for how long now? For like
decades?
Yeah, decades and decades now. It's time to let someone else in there.
Yeah, but she likes the power.
Yeah, she does.
Even though she's not sure what the power gives her at this point.
Yeah.
Right.
Just makes a bunch of young people have to deal with her shit.
Mm-hmm.
As she doesn't remember what she's doing half the time.
Yeah. Okay, next up. So, you remember last week when it came out that apparently there were some classified documents at Biden's residence? And
oh, yeah.
And they started finding more, and so the Republican part of the media started going nuts about it and was like, why aren't you charging him? He needs to be charged. Well, this week they discovered a bunch of classified documents at Mike Pence's home.
Yeah, and so that ended their entire plan to make this Biden's just as bad as Trump. And it's like, no, Trump's way worse than everybody else. Because
mm-hmm.
I think part of this with Pence and Biden is the way that they classify documents.
Yeah.
Where learning to classify anything unless, you know, it gets unclassified at some point. Even it's covering minor things that nobody really needs to be classified. Mm-hmm. So if you're taking, you know, a bunch of supposedly unclassified stuff, it's not too difficult to imagine that there might be some things other than that.
Yeah.
In there. And, you know, the other reason that Biden and Pence's things are not like Trump's is that they turned them in mm-hmm. as soon as they discover them.
Yep.
They didn't get, you know, requests to return it and, you know, denied it, you know, just didn't respond, moved yeah. stuff after knowing that they wanted it, and then forced the FBI to have to perform mm-hmm. a forced search of the residence.
Mm.
That didn't happen with Pence and Biden.
Nope.
So, yeah, this is showing the, I mean, I would assume that when the stuff happened with Biden, that everybody else that was in office, they said, like, all right, get everybody looking through all this shit and see what we have.
Mm.
Make sure if any of it's classified to get it returned immediately.
Mm.
That's very much what it seems to be about here. Everybody else doing their stuff. So
mm.
you have to yeah. see if anybody else ends up on the list.
Mm. We'll see. We'll see. And next up, and even more cheery, just joyous news, the Doomsday Clock has moved to 90 seconds to midnight, the lowest time it's ever been at.
Yeah.
It was at 100 last year.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's yeah, largely, though not exclusively, due to the war in Ukraine.
Yeah.
Yeah, they yep. evaluate this clock every January. It's the first full update since Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine began last February,
mm-hmm.
triggering a war in Europe and a new flood of refugees. It was set to 100 seconds to midnight in 2020,
mm-hmm.
And remained that in 2021 and 2022. So the first time it's been updated in about 3 years.
Mm.
But yeah, that's,
it's changed a lot in my lifetime.
Yeah, like when the Soviet Union fell,
mm-hmm.
That went up. It went up instead of down.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, that whole thing's done.
Yeah.
Then obviously, like the 9/11 and the war on Iraq and Afghanistan
mm-hmm.
sent it back down and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah. But it's been pretty close to midnight for years at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, pretty much. So, yeah, that happened. Wonderful. But now here's something that's actually not as bad, actually kind of neat. Over in Egypt, they unveiled dozens of new archaeological discoveries that were found at the Pharaonic necropolis outside of Cairo. So yeah, we got some new antiquities.
That's cool.
Yeah, they discovered two ancient tombs.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, the artifacts during a year-long excavation were found beneath an ancient stone enclosure near the Saqqara pyramids, and date back to the 5th and 6th dynasties of the Old Kingdom,
mm.
spanning from roughly 2500 BC to 2100 BC. One of the uncovered tombs belonged to a priest from the 5th dynasty known as Numjadef, mm. while the other tomb belonged to an official named Meri, M-E-R-I,
mm-hmm.
a palace official who held the title of the Keeper of the Secrets. Mm. Yeah, other findings include statues, amulets, and well-preserved sarcophagus.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, lots of neat stuff there.
Neato. So, yeah, that's really neat. All right. Next up, an asteroid recently passed by Earth at about 2,200 miles away.
Yeah.
Now, was this one that they were expecting? Because I seem to vaguely remember us talking about something like an asteroid supposed to come close to Earth like a year or so ago.
Happens pretty often.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one was fairly close, 2,200 miles. May not seem like a lot because that's, you know, less than the distance. It'd probably be from like LA to maybe Ohio or Indiana.
Yeah.
Something like that. I think LA to New York would be like 3,000 miles.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of space, distance from Earth, Yeah, they say New York City to Las Vegas, straight line trip, about 22:30. But yeah, in terms of space, this is quite a bit out.
Yeah.
I believe the moon is much, much closer than that. I can look it up real quick, distance to the moon. Oh, that is not... That's 238,000 miles, so that's actually a lot closer. The asteroid was a lot closer than the moon, but still pretty far away, the space with that stuff. Because, yeah, it's a whole thing with the way that distances are projected in, you know, movies and such, like the asteroid belt in Star Wars Episode 4. In real life, those would be so far apart, it would be pretty boring.
Easy
to avoid all that stuff, the way that, like, our asteroid belt works, and even, like, the rings around Saturn. There's a lot of dust and rocks and such, but they're not that close to each other.
Yeah.
It's just at enough of a concentration that it forms that kind of ring to it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, nothing too worried about it, but, yeah, pretty close.
All right. Let's see, what else? Next up, D&D's OGL is not changing.
Yeah. Wizards of the Coast basically undid everything that they were going to do with OGL 2.0 and have just left it at the one that everybody liked.
Yep.
Which is kind of their thing when they fucked up with, what is it? D&D 3.0. That 4.0 was like, it's mostly like what it was before. Everybody hated it.
Yeah.
Like the only thing that's changing is that they're still putting the core gameplay mechanics in the Creative Commons. So that there will be no way that they can change the core parts of that stuff. So, yeah. There you go.
All
right. Crisis averted. Everybody wins.
Because
D&D, you know, Wizard of the Coast and Hasbro just wanted it to stop bleeding.
All right. And next up, M&M's replaced its spokes candies with Maya Rudolph in its supposed response to Tucker Carlson. And Tucker Carlson fucking fell for it.
He... posted a message like, oh, we will be talking about this on the show and all that. This is all for the Super Bowl. This is to, you know, make a big deal. Though it's less pathetic than the Mr. Peanut thing. We're like, we killed him. And they had a baby Mr. Peanut get born in a Super Bowl commercial and then nobody gave a shit about any of that.
Oh, gosh, I forgot about that, but yeah.
Because nobody gives a shit about Mr. Peanut.
Yeah.
I mean, like, no.
It's only time Mr. Peanut is ever brought up is to insult somebody else. Like in, what, the second Ace Ventura movie?
Yeah.
Mr. Monopoly and Mr. Peanut and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's essentially what it's going to happen. They're going to return during the Super Bowl because Tucker Carlson... does not like it. I think the green and the purple one are supposed to be gay for each other. Maybe the brown one and the green one. I forget which ones. They were holding hands and people got mad.
Like, oh, because it's always got to be a sexual thing, isn't it?
It's like, it's
with them, you know?
It's the internet. Everything is sexy.
Yeah, good point.
People get horny for anything.
Yep.
Even... even CG candy.
Yeah.
I mean, just look on the... I don't know if it's still doing it, but people commenting on the Mr. Clean page on Facebook.
They're
all just women that are hot for Mr. Clean. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Anyway, if you haven't figured out, we're now, like, thoroughly into the entertainment portion of the show. And, Yeah, we got the Oscar nominations, and among them, it's been House with 11 nominations for Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah.
Which is a movie I still have not seen and I need to.
Yeah, it is great. It got 11 nominations, one for Best Picture. The directors got nominated for Best Director. Let me see what else ones. Yeah, Michelle Yeoh for Best Lead Actress, Best Supporting Actor got Ke-Huy Kahn, Short Round from Indiana Jones movies. Let's see. What else? Best Original Screenplay, Best Film Editing, which, yeah, that movie has a lot of ridiculous editing. Let me see here. Yeah, Best Original Song. There's a song in there for that. I think a lot of effects stuff as well. But I believe also Best Supporting Actors. Well, I don't think they have that on here. But I think both Jamie Lee Curtis and Stephanie Hsu, the daughter, are both in that. Yeah, they're both here. So there, and there's a lot of notable other things. RRR did not get nominated for Best International Film because the Indian Film Academy decided not to go with that one.
Yeah.
Went for a more traditional Oscar bait movie.
That's just a goddamn shame because that movie was phenomenal.
Mm. Yeah, it did get nominated for Best Original Song for Natu Natu.
Mm-hmm.
The song for the big dance number.
Yeah.
That movie has great music.
Oh yeah.
It does.
If you go on there, the people that compose the music have like music videos versions for all the songs that are in there.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all good if you want to watch it that way.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Best International Film has like All Quiet on the Western Front, which is a German movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, Best Picture has All Quiet on the Western Front, which is on Netflix. Avatar: The Way of Water, The Banshees of Inisherin, which, you want an Irish movie? That movie is Irish as fuck.
Oh yeah.
There you go. Elvis is in there. Like I said, that movie's good. After hearing not many great things when it came out. Everything Everywhere All at Once. The Fabelmans. Tar. That's that movie about the composer.
Yeah.
Supposed to be good. There's Top Gun Maverick.
Mm-hmm.
Triangle of Sadness and Women Talking. So yeah, there you go. You can check the article for the full list of stuff, but those are a lot of the notable ones. Best Animated Short Film, My Year of Dicks. I don't know what that is. I'm going to have to see what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, no Disney or Pixar stuff on this, so that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised the big song from Turning Red is not in Best Original Song.
Because
people like that one a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, people were mad that Nope didn't get any nominations for anything. And it's it's a horror-ish movie that those don't do well unless they knock it out of the park like some of the classics.
Mm-hmm. Also, Academy is just kind of made up of assholes.
That is accurate.
Yeah, you can tell they had an agenda to nominate more POC movies.
Yeah.
So that at least turned out, though. Nope definitely gets shut out on that for some reason.
Yeah. Anyway, also next up, The Last of Us, which is season HBO, and that's no surprise because one, it did insanely well when it debuted, and two, holy shit, did they knock it out of the park?
Yeah, I guess you can watch the first episode for free.
Yep.
I don't know if that's directly on HBO Max's app or on their YouTube or something. I don't know what the specifics are on that, but that's sure an episode that you can make free because that's an episode that's going to fuck you up.
Oh, yeah. You remember the prologue to that game? Yeah, that's like a third of episode one. And playing it isn't going to prepare you for it.
Yeah.
No. It's still as gut-wrenching now as it was then. But
dang.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, I know it does. They don't have it on here, but you know what? Really well last week.
Mm-hmm.
Velma.
Yeah, it seems to be one of those hate watching shows.
Yeah.
I don't know why people put their time into that.
Yeah. They
can complain on Twitter and Facebook or whatever.
I watched the first episode. Yeah, it's annoying. It's extremely annoying. Just the writing is terrible. It's, you know, like, you can make, like, self-referential meta humor, but it does it far too much right out of the gate, and it's way too heavy-handed about it. Yeah.
yeah.
But, yeah. Let's see, what else? HBO Max and DC are ending both Titans and Doom Patrol after 4 seasons.
Yep. More DC stuff shutting down.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, those are both their kind of big live action series for HBO Max.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Titans is like the grown up version of the Teen Titans.
Mm-hmm.
Doom Patrol is just like one of those side groups that don't get too much fanfare.
Well, Doom Patrol actually precedes the X-Men by a few years, actually.
Yeah.
But
it's not like a major group in
it the should DC be, popular. But it's not. Well, it does have sort of its cult following.
Yeah.
It was part of that, because originally, like, it was like a DC thing, and then they decided to revive it in, like, I think it was the late 80s, early 90s, and they got Grant Morrison to write it, which, yeah.
Yeah.
It ended up being like one of the books that sort of led into the whole Vertigo line.
Yeah, I'd probably say it's probably like DC's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Comedian now that James Gunn is in charge of DC.
Yeah, and it was also heavily what inspired. It was also a heavy inspiration on the Umbrella Academy.
Yeah.
So much so that eventually Gerard Way just eventually got a job writing Doom Patrol. So, yeah. But, yeah, after 4 seasons, they're shutting that stuff down. Here's another thing. And if you've been paying any attention, this won't be a surprise to you. Justin Roiland has been dropped by Adult Swim from Rick and Morty, and Hulu has dropped him from Solar Opposites and Koala Man.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So it turns out Justin Roiland is a wife beating piece of shit.
Yeah, and then people are revealing DMs that he had with underage girls,
mm-hmm.
Being very not cool.
Yeah.
Skeevy at the least.
Yeah.
That seemed to also add to this of like, oh, there may be other shit. Shocking. People are like, well, they're going to have to change the voice of Rick and Morty. And it's like, guess what? They moved to a new universe where they sound different.
Yeah,
exactly. There's a million ways to do it.
Yeah.
It's literally a series about endless universes to,
mm-hmm.
you know, fill any sort of story thing they want to do.
Yeah. That's specifically how it was designed.
So they don't have to have him voice those characters or any of the characters. Mm-hmm. You're like, we're in a new universe. Guess what? They sound different now.
Yeah.
People move on.
Apparently, they've also kicked him out of Squatch Games as well.
So, yeah, we'll talk about that tomorrow.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's... Also, I bet there are voice actors that can do that voice.
Oh, yeah. There's a ton of voice actors. Hell, I can do it. We gotta make sure that thing, Morty. Otherwise,
and there's the guy on TikTok who does it all the time.
Yeah.
And even Justin Roiland's like, yeah, well, you know, if they ever need a voice, this is the guy.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah. And what suddenly makes
gotta
me
burp
wonder...
a little more on that one, Brandon.
Yeah, I know. What's in there, Morty? But yeah. Also, I'm starting to wonder, is Dan Harmon hiding in
He had something.
I mean, I know he's probably got some shit, but I mean, he worked with this guy for years, and
yeah, he had something. I forget it was like harassment or something.
Yeah.
That I think got resolved because the he put out like an actual apology of sorts, and the victim sort of accepted that.
Yeah.
So
it's like, is he hiding? It's like he hiding some shit that Roiland did that he's just not talking about, because, like I said, I mean, this apparently seems to show like a pattern of behavior, and these two have been working with each other for years now. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll find out, I guess. Anyway, next up, we got a bunch of trailers here. We got an official trailer for Shazam! Fury of the Gods.
Yeah, that's more Shazam. Mm-hmm. Except now they're fighting a lady that summons dragons.
Mm-hmm.
Shit, so there you go. They're going to fight dragons, I guess.
Yep. Why not?
Yeah. That'll be out March 17th in theaters, so about a month and a half from now.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't seem to have as much fun to it like the original, but I guess that's going to be a sequel.
Mm-hmm. We've also got an official trailer for Dungeons & Dragons Honor of Thieves.
Yep. So it looks pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
They show more of the big villain.
Mm-hmm.
There's like some undead mage, whatever. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that still looks pretty good. That's March 31st.
Mm.
So about 2 months away.
Yeah.
Probably why Wizards of the Coast wanted to get this OGL thing really dealt with.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we want to make money.
Yeah. And last but not least, we got an official trailer for City 5, which is basically about some people in a spaceship that crash land on what they think is an unknown planet, but it's actually Earth 65 million years in the past.
Yeah. Adam Driver is in this.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this comes from the writers of A Quiet Place, and Sam Raimi is producing it.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the big names, and then they hide that the directors are Scott Beck and Brian Woods. I don't know what their history is. But the premise is neat enough.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Sony Pictures movie.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Oh, yeah, these guys. Oh, I guess these guys are the writers, so they would be the people that wrote A Quiet Place as well.
Mm-hmm.
Haunt. And they also worked on A Quiet Place Part 2.
Mm.
A lot of that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Mm.
Not really too much. This is probably their first real big movie to direct.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of their other stuff is like shorts and TV movies and some small stuff you've probably never really heard of unless you're really deep in the horror stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This is obviously more of a sci-fi action movie where Adam Driver is trying to shoot dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
And he decides he's going to shoot a T-Rex in the face.
Yep.
See how that goes for him.
Mm.
With his futuristic gun.
Yeah.
I can tell video games have affected how sci-fi guns are, because it literally shows like an ammo counter on it.
Yeah. Actually, now that I think about it, because I actually saw Aliens for like the first time, like shortly after Christmas.
Yeah.
And after just watching that, I'm like, wow, that movie had a huge impact on just a bunch of other sci-fi stuff. Because the weaponry that the Colonial Marines use, you can pretty much see it, or versions of it, in just about everything after
that. Yeah, Halo's all that.
Oh, yeah.
Halo's are like, oh, we'll just yoink these and change them so they're legally distinct.
Yep. But, yeah. But yeah. So I do believe we got ourselves a show, folks. Yes, we do. All right, so I would like to remind our listeners, if you got a question, comment, or something you want us to be on the air, you can get in touch with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got links in the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at Google Play, RSS, archive.org, or pretty much any kind of podcast aggregator you think of. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up here. Hopefully see you all next week with a whole much more bullshit to talk about. And if you enjoyed what you listened to, please share it with your friends, your family, your mortal enemies that may end up hating you but may end up liking us. Because, like we said last week, we're not in the splash zone, so we don't give a shit. Join us next week and hopefully a new show for you. Later!